Hey, take your Bibles tonight and go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It is a great privilege for us to be home, and as we come in, it's funny because we come in, and I think the last 2 weeks I've met some new people who have been here just pretty recently, and so in doing that, I meet people, and they'll say, so what's your name? And they'll say, you know, they'll ask me questions and say, how long have you been here? You know, do you go to church here? And I say, yes. but we're on the road all the time, and so it's been a blessing for us to be back. As I thought about all of this stuff too, and then later come to find out that the Haneys were candidating, I'm thinking, oh, that's amazing. In my mindset, I knew they were down in Florida, and it's been a long time since we've kind of connected with the Haneys, and so I knew Vivian in college to an extent, and then I think I met Andy. I think I met you after traveling with Steve maybe at Northland or something like that some years ago. And so kind of late 90s, I think it is. And so it's kind of neat to think about how the Lord has brought these guys back and stuff here as well. But we're on the road all the time. And so we're thankful as we come back. Usually it's at least twice a year. And hopefully it's for a couple of weeks at a time when we come back. Usually then sometimes three times a year. And people ask us that all the time. They say, so when you go home, do you like go to your home? And I say, well, we live in our home. And so we actually are thankful for Calvary because now the church is our home because we're parked out back there. And so thankful to be a part of that. Actually, because when we come here, we get a gym that the kids can sometimes use and stuff like that as well, too. So it's kind of a neat place as we come back home. Growing up here, I think about this whole idea of iron sharpening iron. I'd like you to look at that in the scripture. It's Proverbs 27, verse 17. I would entitle this maybe Quality Friendship. Years ago, I read a book that was called Quality Friendship. I thought that might be a good title for this as I think about what true friendship is. And as you look at this passage reminds me because when we travel, some of you have done this too because you've taken have a travel trailer maybe or fifth wheel or something like that. You have, and you've gone on vacation. When we leave, every time we leave, we have to tear down our home. Like everything is torn down. You can't have anything on the walls because it'll fall off driving down the road. You can't have anything that can move on the counters or anything like that too. So it takes a long time to pull everything down. You have to put it all together. There's a place for everything. It's usually, for us, it's like a 2 hour, probably the night before. And then the morning of, you're still probably an hour to 2 hours the morning of just to get yourself ready to leave. And then you're going to have to go and set up again. So we're used to doing that. Every week we tear down and set up. We're thankful again as we do this. But I'm always reminded because in our trailer, I pull down right at our door where we, when you leave the trailer, enter the trailer, there is a framed verse, and it's this verse. And I don't remember if years ago if I bought that frame on purpose or someone gave that to me. I can't remember. But basically, ever since we've been in this trailer, we've had that hanging on our wall. And it's a constant reminder to us. When I leave the trailer, Jeremy, take your friends seriously. And may God use us in the purpose of the lives of people. And so it's a constant reminder to me. But here's what it is. Proverbs 27, verse 17. What does it say? It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And this is what real friendship is. Actually, as you begin to look at this, what is quality friendship? What is real friendship? I think we'll see five things really from this verse in this text that begin to dig in and upon this verse. Some of these things begin to just really show up to go, wow, that's pretty serious as a verse of scripture that has to deal with friendship. So let me pray real quick. I have just a couple of minutes here to look at some of these things. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness to us. Thank you for the word of God in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your provision for us. As I think about Pastor and his wife and family. Lord, as I think about the future of Calvary and just what you're doing through Calvary, I pray, God, your great blessing upon it. I pray that you would use this. There's so many evangelistic efforts, Lord, is speaking specifically of even the ladies who minister as evangelists, laying a gospel foundation and having opportunities for the sake of the gospel. I pray that you would just use that at Calvary in a great way. But Lord, tonight, as we think about friendship, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would, in this next couple of moments, that you would stir our hearts when it comes to making an impact in the lives of people. And Lord, I pray that, first of all, you would make an impact in our own hearts, that we would then, in turn, be able to dispense that grace towards others. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Empower me now. Use this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. As we look at this closely, what is a real friend and what should they be like? And I think as you look at the text specifically, I want to give us five things. The first thing would be this. Number one, real friends actually should have a sense of purpose. As you think about iron sharpening iron, you don't randomly do that. It's like you don't just kind of think, hey, I'm going to sharpen a knife today, okay? Because the idea is that there's a purpose in it. I mean, if a person is actually forming a piece of metal, a blacksmith, into a sword, it's not random. You're just like, hey, so what are you doing? I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of hitting this piece of metal together. I'm just kind of rubbing these things together. You don't do it on accident. Actually, iron sharpening iron is done on purpose. As you begin to think about real friendships and having a purpose, I think about being intentional with people. Growing up, I think probably many of you, as you were growing up, you probably didn't really choose your friends all that wisely. You probably chose your friends growing up just because you kind of liked them. I mean, they're fun to be around. They're kind of like you. They kind of like the same things you like. And so you just kind of randomly chose friends. And probably some of you would probably say that was good, and probably some of you might say that was bad. And but as I think about this specifically, I think about it, here's a person who actually has a purpose in their friendships. Do you do that? I mean, the people that you hang out with, the people that you meet each day, I mean, even the neighbors beside of you that you live near, do we really have a purpose in the friendships that God brings across our path? And many times we intentionally go after people, hopefully, Lord willing, we do that, but we would be purposeful. I tell people, don't choose your friends randomly. Pick your friends wisely. And have a purpose in that. Scripture's shown us this is actually iron sharpening iron kind of friendship is actually a friendship with a purpose. But I'd say number two is this. Real friends actually should see the potential in their friends. I mean, when you got a person, let's say a blacksmith, even back in the day, and they're going to form a piece of metal into a sword, when I think about them hitting it and I think about them continually doing this, I mean, the idea is they have a vision for something that they're making, or the idea of even as something that they're sharpening, there's again that purpose within that, and they see the potential of what a sharp object could be useful in. So when you consider this, even thinking about it, how do you view your friendships? Because I think a true iron sharpening iron friend always is constantly seeing the potential. Now, when I think about that is the potential for Christ likeness. Aren't you glad that when Jesus looks at you from glory, he doesn't see you as you, but he sees you as Christ in you if you're truly born from God? That he sees you as perfect? Now, practically, we're not there. And so therefore, there's this potential that he sees within us, and yet he's the only one who can make us with that potential. But I begin to consider this spiritually. Here's a person forming a piece of metal, making it into a sword or something sharp to be as a sword or as a knife being used. They're seeing potential in the other person. That's what real friendships do. Now, I think the tendency is that sinfully, we don't always do this. Sinfully, honestly, we maybe see them as, that's impossible. I mean, they're never going to change. I've known them for years. They're always the same. And we've even probably said things like that. We think of, instead of things being impossible, I think it's painful sometimes to have friendships. It's just easier to be on my own, isn't it? It's just a sinful thought. I think it's irritating. But the truth is, anybody truly in Christ, even Christ with his own disciples, as he chose these people, he saw them from the beginning. And we're looking at going, Jesus, I mean, like, are you really going to use these? I mean, 12 ordinary men? You can't use them. But it's amazing how God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And so I look at this, and I think a real friendship actually sees the potential in people around them. When I think about this, I think about this summer. We began our summer, and we actually started off from Upper Michigan, where we finished off our fall or spring tour. And then we kind of worked our way down to Texas because we were with a church planter for about 3 weeks in Texas. And while we were there, it's amazing just kind of to be able to spend time really trying to make an impact in that church and just a different realm than we do during a week and those kind of things, and how the Lord is just blessing that church in Round Rock, Texas. We left from there, though, and went up north, and we're in camp and conference centers in different places. But one place I spent 3 weeks with was a place called Camp Shetek. It's in northwestern Wisconsin. A lot of the churches from Minnesota maybe go there. There's a lot of influence. It's interesting. I did a family camp. I end up doing another week of a junior camp, and then I finish it off with a teen camp. And some friends of ours from college are working there, named the Savinskys. Some of you might have remembered that name, a guy named Jerry Savinsky. He has multi-kids. And I hadn't seen Scott Savinsky. He does have multi-kids, Jerry Savinsky. Okay. But Jerry, I think the one who's there is a guy named Scott Savinsky. I hadn't seen Scott, honestly, for years. And these kids, many of their kids, would they travel in evangelism. So there's a lot of similarities of just being on the road and living on the road. And so as I'm talking to Scott has this program they do that really influences the life of teenagers. It's a three-week program that they will do, and they'll come in there, and they learn to serve. They're being challenged. A guy named Matt Williams actually helps out a little bit, too, with that program. And so just kind of to be reacquainted with Scott. Now, Scott, if you knew Scott before, I knew him before, and Scott was always this kind of guy you like didn't want to cross Scott, because Scott is like this ninja guy. He's a karate guy. Now I'm a karate guy, kind of, I guess you could say, too. But it's like Scott is this way. And in the past, even growing up, he told me he used to have a really, really bad temper. He said, I really feel like I almost killed a guy in high school, because a guy was messing with me and I drew a knife and stuck it to his throat. And he goes, I was so close to just really slashing his throat because I was so angry at him. You know, so Scott, I haven't seen in a long time. Scott was in ministry. We sat beside each other a lot of times in different ministry classes. Well, so what's kind of neat is we're with Scott and Debbie and seeing them and seeing God using them in this great way, and spent like 3 weeks. On the weekends, we'd go out and we'd kind of hang out together. And then as we left, Scott comes to me and he says, Jeremy, I got to talk to you. Cause we've been having these conversations. It's neat to see how God has been changing Scott through the years, and by God's grace, hopefully he's seen the same. And we're sitting there talking at some point, and he says to me, he says, Jeremy, I got to talk to you. I really need to talk to you about your ministry. Okay. He's getting like real quiet and real serious. He says, I feel like your ministry is lacking in some certain areas. You know what's going on in my heart? In my heart, I'm saying, dear Lord, help me take this, please. because naturally you don't want, when people are telling you things, you don't really want to hear it sometimes, but you do. I think really as real friends, we want to hear it. So I'm waiting for this big thing, because we've had some serious conversations in different ways of really sharpening one another. And then he looks at me, and as he's speaking to me, he says, I feel like your ministry is lacking because you don't have one of these. And he reaches into a backpack and pulls out this brand new like Kershaw knife. It's some kind of knife thing. And he's like this hunter, and he's into all this kind of sports and stuff too, and everything too. And I asked to borrow my wife's gun. You know, that's how I am, because I don't have my own. And so anyway, as he does this, he's laughing at me because he said, you were getting really nervous, weren't you? And I said, actually I was. I just was praying the Lord to give me humility to hear what you had to say to me. Because when you think about real friends, they not only see the potential in others, and you realize that God's not through with them yet. He's not through with you. He's not through with me. And praise God, if we're in Christ, that he's begun this good work in us, we'll bring it to completion. And we as true friends need to see that as potential, instead of always the negative, and yet always not only just being willing to cover the multitude of sins, but saying, dear God, their truth is there's potential because they're in Christ and one day will be with Christ. And so you will make them whole, and we should see true potential. Number three tonight, real friends should actually shape their peers. Because iron sharpening iron, you've got it in multiple ways as you can see this. You could say that here's two pieces of metal rubbing together. I mean, you've seen this. Some of you have been to Japanese restaurants, you know, where they're making all the food in front of you. And as they make the food in front of you, sometimes you see them scraping those knives. And what are they doing? In one sense, they're cleaning them off or they're sharpening those knives. When metal scrapes against metal, if you have some form of a file, that's a metal style of file, even against a knife of some sort, you're actually using it to sharpen the other knife. When you consider that, it's the idea of shaping something that's grown dull. It's making it better. It's again a person who works in metal, and he's forming this piece of metal into something useful, sharpening it. And when you think about that, even too, true friendships shape their peers. They seek to do something about it. They help better their friends. It's like you're a better friend because they're your friend, and they're helping better their friends. That's what real friends do. That's what iron sharpening iron friends do. They seek to make an impact for your life. And the truth is, because friends naturally shape friends, we need to be really careful with our friends. I think of years ago, a mutual friend of ours, a guy named Stephen St. John. And Stephen St. John, it's funny because I grew up with Stephen, and his dad taught in the university. And there were times where in high school or in elementary school, my parents told me that I couldn't hang around Stephen. Because every time I got around him, I would start acting really bad. they just said something about you. It's like your attitude changes, it shifts. Now, praise the Lord, we were able to hang out later. I mean, the truth is God did a work in his life and a work in my own life. And I think us together was not good, actually, in the time. And my parents actually could even see that. They realized that friends actually shape their peers. Think about this. The scriptures teach us this. Corinthians says what? Evil communication corrupts good manners. I mean, you might have even the greatest intention, but if you hang around with the wrong people, it can pull you down. And that's in a context of a local assembly. Corinth. I mean, you think about Proverbs 13:20, another favorite verse on friendships. It says that walk with wise men and you shall be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. Quickest way to ruin a life is to hang around with people that influence you in a negative way. Now, the truth is that doesn't mean we'll avoid all negative and don't ever evangelize anybody because them lost people can be really bad. You know, that's not at all what it's teaching. But it's interesting because we as believers love people and we go after lost people. And yet even as believers, we seek to be wise in those friendships. We seek to walk with people who actually we would desire to be like, or actually we strive to encourage people to be like Christ. We seek to be influential, not to be a leech as a friend. Some of you know that. There are certain people that it's like as friendships, it's just like they kind of always suck out of you and they're never giving back. And yet, I still think of Christ and how would Christ respond? And what's interesting is when the Lord got a hold of my life, I was 17 years old, and it was over the summer. And it's interesting because the year before, maybe 16 years old, 17 years old, a girl named Kirsten Berg confronted me. And interesting, I had grown up, and Kirsten was a friend of mine since kindergarten, okay? So here I was and she was always one of those real friends, if you know what I'm talking about, like a friend who was consistent and faithful. It's like she had you know, again, I don't know, the family situation, whatever, but the idea is that she was just honest, she was genuine, and she was one of the ones I wouldn't want to hang out with really because it just irritated me, and I'm like, I didn't want to serve the Lord, I wasn't going to walk with the Lord, and so I get near her, and I kind of feel conviction. And there was a time where we had something that went on campus and with Christians getting together. I went there because friends were going to be there. I went there because there's going to be food and there's going to be competition. Okay, all that kind of encouraged me. But I didn't go there for the testimony time that was going to be at the end. But as I'm sitting there at the testimony time at the end, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, get me out of here. You know how this, get me out of here, look at your watch. And a person beside me, a guy named Brian Kane, stands up and he starts talking about how God is working in his life. And he's got tears in his eyes. And I am so nervous at this point. I'm like, get me. I really was going to get up and walk out, but I thought that would be really odd because he's right beside me and I can't really do that. So I'm enduring this, but I'm under serious conviction because my own life was not, I knew I should fully sell out to the Lord. I hadn't done that at that point. I was holding things back. He finally finished. We dismiss. And on the way, we are going to go over and watch some university games being played, soccer games. And I'm walking over this way, crowd of people all walking together. Kirsten approaches me, and she approaches me in love. She didn't say this in a rude way. She said it in a way that no one else could hear it. Only I heard her say this. So she wasn't trying to be seen. And she just says, Jeremy, she gets my attention. And I look over to her, and she says, it's your turn. Now, I knew exactly what she meant. She was saying, Jeremy, you have some friends who are giving their life to the Lord. Jeremy, you need to give your life to the Lord too. But all she said was, it's your turn. I mean, honestly, I ignored what she said. I tried to keep on walking. I go to the place where the games are being played, and people are, and now I'm kind of, you know, changing my heart and my mind because I'm talking to other friends. And then people kind of walked away at one point. She walks up to me a second time that evening and says, hey, Jeremy, I just want you to know that I care for you as a friend and I'm praying for you. And I said, thanks. For the next 6 months, can I just tell you, I was being so bombarded with everything. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, Tom Craig, you know, speaking to me as a youth pastor. And I'm like, you know, at that point in time, you know, I'm hearing, it's your turn. And I'm going, no, it's not. You know, in my mind, it'd be Pastor Alltime would be speaking stuff to you. I'd be sitting there and I'd be, you know, it's your turn. No, it's, and I'm like, and I'm battling against all of this. It's amazing until some 6 months later, as I went through all of this, I just kind of come clean before the Lord and come broken before the Lord. And God begins to disturb me. And I thought, you know, wow. God used a person who's walking in the power of the Spirit who said three words to me, it's your turn, and made a powerful impact. I thought, you know, isn't this what true friends do? Friends, they shape their peers. Number four, they actually speak with precision. That's one way of shaping your peers. You actually use your speech in such a way that actually brings them to truth. Remember, the scripture tells us, Jesus said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. So we're actually sanctified. We're made into the image of Christ through the truth of the word. And so the reality is real friends should be word-filled people who are speaking the truth of the word consistently to their friends and living out that truth. That actually shapes the person. They speak the truth. When I think about that, I think of sometimes that's painful, isn't it? I mean, could you imagine, a man forming that piece of metal into a sword, and every time he hits it, bang, sparks fly, bang, and sparks fly, bang, sparks fly. But what is he doing? He's actually making it into something useful. Think about the file or the other piece of metal rubbing against the metal. Who likes that? But we all want the product, but I don't think any of us enjoy the process. I think when you think about those who speak with precision, they're actually, it's like, it's love. Love does this. That's why when I thought about, actually, even today, I actually sent Pastor a text and just said, thanks. I mean, I'm like, we needed that. That's good. I needed that. I mean, it's actually the real friendship is not the person that just kind of pats you on the back and says you're a good person and you have no issues and no problems. Actually, your real friend is a person who's going to speak the truth with precision and say, hey, this is what Scripture says. I was reminded of this because even the last night, it's interesting because we read the Scriptures nightly. It's like our kids are going to bed and we're working through Matthew, and the passage we dealt with was Matthew 6, and it dealt with the whole idea of where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I mean, he's describing this. Listen, where we put our money, it just reveals where our heart is. And then we get hammered. And it was good. But I think about that, and I think of real friends actually speak with precision. They seek to actually to give the truth to those around them. I think of Steve Pettit, who was willing to speak precise words to me that I didn't like. that actually helped me in the process. So think about, again, people in your own life who has actually, who've actually given you truth at times. And you might have actually, you might have even walked away. Oh, well, I'm not going to talk to you. But then if you're really walking with the Lord, though, you go, but they're right. And you go back and you say, thank you for speaking the truth. Real friends speak with precision. Number five, the last thing to see tonight, simply is this, as iron sharpens iron. Think about it this way. Number five, real friends should sharpen perpetually. I'm noticing I'm doing the SP kind of thing going on here. I don't know if you have noticed that. Sense of purpose, see the potential in others. They shape their peers. They speak with precision. They sharpen perpetually. It's, what do you mean by this, Jeremy? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's this faithfulness in sharpening. If something is being used, a knife is being used consistently for whatever purpose it may be, if it's being used, it has to then be sharpened again. And so the reality is if you use it for hunting, if you use it for cooking, if you use it to chop wood, if you use it with whatever, anything being used has to be constantly sharpened because it's the nature of it, it constantly gets dull. So what does a real friend do? A real friend is, it's not just a one-time sharpen. Well, I sharpened you before. See ya. No, it's a constant sharpening of a friend. You could say they're not lazy. They're reliable. They endure. When you think about all of these things, I think about a friend named Will Galkin, who you guys know. Will's funny. It's like I've known him for years, and I don't know how often Will will say something like this. He'll say, "So Jeremy, how are you doing?" And I would seem like every summer, I was like, "How are you doing, Jeremy?" I'd say, "I'm doing pretty good," you know. And he'd say, "No, how are you really doing? What's going on?" He'd say stuff like, "Are you keeping your eyes on your wife only?" Like, seriously, how are you doing? And at once, it's like, I didn't like it, but I loved it. Because the idea of a person kind of digging in and getting intentional with their friendships, I loved it because actually I realized that this is my real friend here. Because he's willing to speak the truth to me. He's willing to say something. Actually, you could take all of these things and you could reverse it all and how to be a bad friend. You know what I mean? I don't know if you thought about this. Okay, a person with a sense of purpose. No, if you want to be a bad friend, have no purpose. Just going to live without a purpose in your spiritual life and your friendship. It's just kind of random to have no purpose. That's the way to be a loser. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you don't see the potential in people at all. You just kind of just are irritated by people. You just, that's a way to be a loser friend. How to be a loser friend? You could say that you don't shape your peers at all. No, you're just like a leech. Again, you just kind of hang on. You just kind of grab from them. You build your kingdom by them. You could say a person doesn't speak with precision. What do? They talk about themselves. Well, let me give you my opinion. Actually, in one sense, I could care less sort of about your opinion if it's not biblical. I do want truth, don't you? So there's a sense of just being that way. It could be a person who's just unreliable. That's how to be a loser friend. I mean, I look at this and I start thinking about quality friendship. Who models this in Scripture? Paul does with Timothy. Jesus does with his disciples and with us. I think in the end, if you're going to be a true friend, hang out with Jesus and he's going to make you be a true friend. May God help us do that. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for just simple truths from the book of Proverbs. Each verse so powerful in and of itself. But God, I pray tonight as we leave here that even though this is so simple and so short, that we would seriously consider how we affect people. So God, I pray more than anything else that you would affect us, that we would in turn then sharpen those around us. Thank you, God, for how we can be used and how you can use friendships in our life. Lord, may we be willing to be sharpened as well. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, Pastor.